Number one desirable. Out of what I want, when I want, and how I want it. Leave you with the one in the air. Hey, hey, what's up? Welcome to the And That's the Tea podcast. I am Audrey and I host this podcast. And if you found me, welcome. I'm really glad you're here. You may have stumbled upon this podcast from hearing about me on Instagram. If not, my Instagram is at Audrey K. Ross, and I'm also on Twitter at @Ross_Audrey. So those are all my plugs for the day. Anyways, this is my second episode, and honestly, like, I still don't have a format that I'm following. I'm kind of just going for what my heart wants to talk about and what's been on my mind and what you guys are wanting to hear and what you guys can find value in. So I hope that this episode gives that to you. In this episode, I kind of wanted to talk about my journey into the whole bodybuilding community and how I got my start in this crazy world of Fitspo and Gymshark shit and IFYM and competing and NPC stuff, you know, just the whole shebang, like the whole thing. Except I don't really like to attach labels to myself, just because I don't see myself as a Fitspo, because I don't really post workouts, and I don't see myself as like an athlete, like a sponsored athlete, because I'm just not. I don't have sponsorships. I have people who sponsor me to do certain things, like certain services I don't pay for, but none of my, like, I'm not tied to a brand or a company. I represent companies that I want to represent and that I 100% use and believe in and have spent my own money on before being sponsored. So, and many people on Instagram aren't like that. But anyways, I don't want to go off in a tangent because I don't want you guys to just think I'm one of those people. But I promise I'm here for real valuable info. So, okay. So I think an intro to my fitness journey is kind of a typical like second episode type of thing, after the awkward first episode. So we got that out of the way. So if you're here, you're a real person. Like, you are an OG. Like, I love you. Let me know if you're here. Comment, share this podcast, whatever. But anyways, wow. Okay. So I would like to start off. Let's start in high school. So I went to a super small high school. It was like a 4A size school, in a small town, super small town called Fort Gibson, Oklahoma. And it was your typical small town. I mean, everyone knew each other. And if you didn't go to the local Baptist church, you were basically like Satan's spawn. So all the teachers I had all had kids in my classes and stuff, and so favorites were played all the fucking time. Fucking gag me. And, you know, it was just small town shit. Like, everyone has their own problems, but I was very blessed though to grow up in the community that I grew up in. I do have a good my roots in Fort Gibson are good. I do have friends there still. I don't really keep up with anyone from my hometown, though, just because that's just not, like, there's no, really no value there for me anymore, other than that's where I grew up. And I do have an attachment because of that. But other than that, anyways, high school, 2014, I graduated. My graduating class was average, but in high school, I was actually a swimmer. So, as you can imagine, I did lots of cardio every day, like endurance. Swimming is very much an endurance sport. I mean, you have to eat a lot if you're a swimmer. And honestly, like, if I looking back on my life at that time in swimming, I didn't care really about my body. I didn't, like, I don't want to say that because I did care, but like, I didn't care in the sense that I was aware of my size or what other people thought about it. I was comfortable and I was happy, and I didn't weigh myself. I didn't know what a macro was. I didn't track anything. I just ate when I was hungry and wasn't really like aware of nutrition and like protein and the importance of like carbohydrates and limiting your fats. I mean, not limiting, but you know, not eating foods that are super calorically dense, like nuts all the time. I was your average teenager, like straight up. And I was a lifeguard during the summers. So my summers were a lot of exposure in terms of body, like as a lifeguard. And I got a lot of attention for it. I mean, I was like 16 and working at a water park. So yeah, whatever. Anyways, that's another story. But so swimming, I was doing a lot of cardio, right? And we would have early morning workouts during our competitive season that could be likened to maybe a CrossFit workout. Like, we called them dry land because they were dry land workouts. We weren't working out in the water. We didn't have a swim workout that day. So we were doing things like burpees and box jumps and a little bit of resistance training. For those of us that were advanced, I guess you could say. I mean, we had really good swimmers on our team. We had really shitty swimmers, and I was somewhere in between, depending on the race that you're talking about. Like, I was a breaststroker, and I also swam the 200 IM, which is a combination of all four strokes, but breaststroke was my niche. But anyways, I really liked it. But I do vividly remember after my last year of swimming, one of my coaches, and I don't really want to do names in this episode, but one of my coaches, we were at a swim meet. It was the last swim meet of the season. And he had told us, like, we were all just hanging out, and we all just got to talking about, like, what are we going to do after high school? Like, and our coach was like, well, you ladies are going to have to do something. Like, and I was like, what do you mean? Like, he was like, well, if you just go from this, like, swimming all the time and all this endurance and training to nothing, you'll pack on the weight pretty quick. Like, you'll have to do something. In that moment, I will never forget that moment, because in that moment, those words that he said instilled a sense of fear in me. And that is the very first time that I became aware of my body weight and my body and what I would do after high school when I didn't have the accountability of going to swim practice every day. So, and he was right. He wasn't wrong in what he was saying. And I'm not bashing him or anything. I'm just saying, in that moment, that's when I realized, like, oh shit. Like, I don't know, that I just had this sense of awareness. And so I didn't try to lose weight until after swimming was completely over, after state was over and everything. So that's when I got introduced to the Special K diet. And if you're not aware of the Special K diet, like, I had wanted to lose some weight following my swimming season, just because, like, I started to really notice. I was like, wow, like, I actually do have a little bit of body fat. I wasn't fat by any means, but I wasn't like super skinny, but I wanted to look good for my first year of college. So I started the Special K diet, and it's this super low calorie, maybe around 1200 calories a day of a meal plan. And the products that you eat are only endorsed by Special K. So you have the Special K cereal, you have the Special K meal bars, you have the Special K like snack bars, you have the Special K protein shakes, just like everything Kellogg Special K branded was what this diet was. And so for breakfast, you had like a cup of cereal with like a banana or something, or just like, and then lunch was one of these meal bars. And then dinner was a regular, just normal, well-rounded dinner. You had like a protein, a carb, and a fat, whatever. And like small snacks in between. And so if you can imagine, of course I lost weight eating a fucking protein bar for lunch for weeks. Like, of course. And so I maintained that, and I continually bought those bars over the summer, and like just went on this summer long kick of all this Special K shit. And I started going to the gym and really started, I started out with a lot of cardio because that's all I knew. And then I slowly transitioned to the machines and then the free weights. So it was a slow transition, but over that summer, I completely versed myself in all things beginner resistance training in the gym. And I really enjoyed it and I saw results. And at this time, I didn't have an eating disorder yet. And then insert college at Oklahoma Christian University in fall of 2014, I developed my first eating disorder. I was obsessed with the scale. And I didn't have any friends. And that's a whole nother story in itself because I went to a Christian university and I just felt very isolated. I felt like an outcast because my brother is literally in prison and so is my father. And there's a lot of drug shit involved in my family that a lot of people knew about. And so I just felt like I didn't fit in and like I couldn't make friends. And like it was just, there's a lot of information in that, in those words that I just said that I'm going to say for another podcast. But anyways, so I turned to food for an emotional constant. Like that was my, I don't want to say comfort, but that was my triggered, like if I was stressed or depressed, I would just eat something and then I would throw it up after. I remember the first time I purged. I remember exactly what food it was. I remember when. I remember what month. I remember where I was. I remember how I felt. It sticks with you the first time. And so at this time, I was still resistance training and still going to the gym and still trying to maintain that weight that I had lost after my first season or after my first couple of months in college. I was determined to not be the girl that packed on the freshman 15. Like that was my mindset, and that's what I told people. People were like, "Wow, like you look really good. Like, what are you doing?" And I was like, "I just don't want to gain. I just don't want to do the freshman 15." And I kept using that term over and over again. And enter in like sophomore year of college, and guess the fuck what? Like I still said that. Like, I will not be that girl that blows up after high school. Like what I kept saying, and I was right. I mean, it didn't happen, but I was also like knee deep in bulimia. So, sophomore year, I got even further into fitness and I started finding out all about competing and seeing pictures of girls in their bikinis on stage. And I was like, wow, like I would never be able to do something like that. Like, I would never be able to look like that. Like, my body just wouldn't do that. And like, I obviously had no idea that. Like what it takes it actually is possible. But that's when I kind of first started getting the idea was in 2015. And then enter in 2016 and I'm still at Oklahoma Christian. My sophomore year, I decided to sign up with my first coach and do a natural NANBF bikini show. And I did compete bikini one time at this show, a natural federation, so it was drug tested. And I don't want to say it was a bad experience, but it was good for me to get my feet wet and have the experience of a show day and the rush and the makeup and the tan. Even though my makeup looked fucking horrendous, ladies, please do not match your eyeshadow with your suit color. Thank you. But anyways, So I enjoyed it, but I quickly found out that bikini wasn't my place to be. I don't feel like a pageant princess on stage. I don't shake my ass on stage. I don't flirt my hair around. Like I just don't. It's not me, and you can't force it. And also, my lower body and my quads are very dominant compared to my upper body, and I just didn't have the proportions for it. So ladies, remember to always play to your strengths. If your body favors one physique over the other and like one type of shape over the other, you'll quickly be able to tell. Just look at your proportions. Ask a trusted coach to look at you and say, "Hey, like where do you think I would best fit in?" Like play to your strengths. That doesn't mean you can't change. But if you already have a genetic background for dominant legs and a wide lat spread, like you're probably going to do really well in figure. Like you might have to work on some weaker points like I did, like bringing up my delts or something, but that doesn't mean that you can't do it. But it would be a lot harder for me to lose muscle in my legs and shape my body to where my back wasn't dominant, just because I was a swimmer and I developed a very dominant back and very dominant traps. So I just played to that, and I did very well in my first few figure shows as well. So anyways, back to what I was saying. So the natural show went well, and it was a good experience for me. And then I moved to Texas in between my sophomore and junior year of college, because I was so depressed at Oklahoma Christian. And so I moved to Texas, where I was originally from, and born. And so I had family there, and I went to Midwestern State University, and I was still all into the competing scene. I was reversing out of my first show. I had put on about, I want to say 15 pounds in the time that I stepped off stage from bikini and started prep for my first figure show, which was maybe 4 months. It was not an off season. But of course, me being the young, naive 18, 19 year old, I just didn't understand that. And I didn't know that. And so I had also signed with a new coach, and he was also really bad. My first few coaching experiences were not good. I didn't step up to my game until I hired Alex Bush. So, side note. But anyways, So I had my next prep that I did was for figure, and I decided not to compete in a national federation anymore. And that doesn't mean that's when I decided to start using anabolics, but that is just, I just didn't, the natural federations are so political. They're not political. They're just clicky. I don't know. They're not taken seriously. If someone tells me they're a pro in a natural federation, I laugh at them, because that's just not there. I mean, that sounds bad. I don't want to say that I laugh, but I don't take them seriously. I don't give a shit if you're Mr. Natural Arkansas. Have you seen the Mr. Actual Arkansas in bodybuilding? He looks phenomenal. So it's just, it's not, I just don't take it seriously. But anyways, so I decided to do my first NBC figure show, and that was in May at Battle of the Bodies in Tulsa, May of 2017. And then I went on and I dragged that prep out a really long time, and I moved to Arkansas in that time also. And I did Arkansas State in 2017, as well as the Showdown of Champions a week later in 2017. And both of those shows were okay. The Showdown of Champions was horrible, just because I had binged during my peak week and I didn't tell my coach, and I couldn't throw it up. I was still dealing with bulimia during that time. I had a little relapse. And then enter in 2018, and this is when shit got really real for me. This is when I started using anabolics. This is when I hired a good coach who actually knows what he's doing and got me a very long way in this industry. Hold on, I'm going to stop here for a second because I'm thirsty. So in 2018, I was with Alex Bush. He is a very, very, very smart coach and knows exactly what he's doing. Very intelligent training. You can tell he's had a lot of education in what he does. But anyway, so 2018, I prepped and I competed in three shows in 2018. I did a very long prep, so I started prep for these three shows in Christmas of 2017, and it was very slow to start, and I didn't compete until June of 2018. So I did the Oklahoma State Championships, and I won my novice class and novice overall. And I didn't place in the open, but the weird thing about NPC Oklahoma shows is that bitches bring it to those shows. For some reason in Oklahoma, you will have a bunch of girls who are just a bunch of competitors in general who just, they're average, they're good. I was average, that's fine. And then there's a select handful of just anomaly, just crazy looking competitors, that belong on a national stage. For some reason, they just come out of the woodworks for those shows. And so, I didn't place in that one. And I also was not lean enough, and I 100% own that. And then fast forward a few weeks later, I did the Dallas Europa in 2018, and that was my very first national qualification. I placed second in that show, and that was probably one of my most favorite shows to date. The Dallas Europa is a very prestigious show. It's a very big stage. The Europa Games Expo is very well known, and they have one in Dallas, they have one in Phoenix, and they have one in Orlando, I believe. It's very well known, and then you have an IFBB Pro League show following that, so you have the Europa, the IFBB Europa, whatever, I'm not really sure what they call it, but anyways, place second. Driving home from that show, you know, was just a whirlwind of emotions, because I finally felt that feeling of getting that national qualification, which was my main goal for that season in 2018, and we almost put an end to it after that show. Like, we almost put it in and just called it quits, and like, we thought about doing a prep for Miami of 2018, but I would not have the size nor probably the ability to keep dieting for that long. I was pretty run down. That would be a full year of a prep diet, which is insane. My hormones at the end were just, shit was hitting the wall. But you know what? I had it in me to do one more show, and I am so glad I did, because I freaking won 4 weeks later at the Arkansas State Championships, the title of Miss Arkansas. Which was a shit show in itself for multiple reasons, but that was my very first overall championship. But a lot of people didn't think that I earned it. A lot of people thought that I had slept with the judges for some reason. A lot of people had thought that it was political, or they didn't like the girl who I beat, which was... I'm not going to get into that. But anyways, long story short, it was bittersweet, because I didn't really get to enjoy it, just because there were so many people who didn't want me to win that show for some reason. It just pissed a lot of people off, and I'm not really sure why. I'm not really sure what I was supposed to do when I won. Like, if they're so mad, like, do they want me to give back my title or what? Like, I don't know what you want me to do, but that's long gone and that chapter's closed. But that was a very awesome, that was a turning point in my competitive career. That's when I finally got that national stage bug. Like, that's when I knew, like, this was my thing. Like, this is my sport. I want to go a long way. I want to see my name big time. So that's what I'm currently working towards right now. It's been a full year since I've dieted, well, a prep diet, since I've been in a prep, since I've competed. It was my turn to take a year off. You know, in that full year, I finished college finally after a 5-year undergrad. And I also met who I think is the love of my life. And we live together, and I currently work in marketing as a marketing coordinator. And I'm actually about to start my master's degree at Arkansas State University in strategic communications. And I do have a prep coming up, and I know I mentioned that in my last episode. So that's where I'm at. I'm still working on getting my head in the right space for a prep, because I want to do it intelligently. I don't want to just do it to do it. I want to do this to be good and to succeed and to gain some titles and some experience and wins. And I mean, I compete to win now. I understand that losses happen, and you know, you can't control who shows up on show day, but you can control how you look, and you can control all the variables that are in your hands and your prep and what you did for yourself to get yourself on that stage. So yeah, I am gearing up, and I'm getting my mind in the right spot. I think my body is in a good place metabolically, hormonally. I think my mind just needs to catch up to where my body is. It would be nice to see my food a little bit higher. I'm currently at about 2,500 calories a day. Would like to be at around 26, 27, but you know what? I'm one of those girls who I have to get pretty low in prep. I have to have pretty high cardio towards the end, pretty low calories, at least I used to. So, but you know, one thing I've learned throughout this whole sport is that no two preps are the same. And that just comes with your training age. That comes with the amount of muscle that you're able to put on in your off season. And that comes with like your stress and the amount of things that you can control and like managing your stress, getting your sleep, literally checking off the list, getting all your variables that you can control in check and doing what you can. So that I already know where I could have improved from my previous preps. I have new coaching this time around. If you don't know, my coach is Justin Mahaley. Awesome dude, really good friend of mine. I am very grateful to be working with someone as amazing as Justin, and we are going to do really cool things together in the future. And I just love the team that I'm on, and I like the friends that I've made are pretty awesome. We all just kind of had this little support system going and this group message every day, and it's just great to see people, even if they're not competitors, you know, we're all in the same mental space. We're all really hard workers. We all, you know, wake up early, hit the gym, go to work, go home and repeat. Like, that's the lifestyle. And so it's just great to be around them. And so, yes, I'm super excited for what is to come in the future with bodybuilding. But yeah, like I said, I'm prepping to prep. So I'm getting my metabolism in the right spot. I'm making sure my hormones are in check. I'm making sure my training is consistent and intense and has purpose. And every day I'm going in with the mindset of earning that first call out spot. So yeah, and I don't really have much to add to that. As far as like, that's where I'm at in my bodybuilding career. I mean, I know there was a lot of information in this episode and a few things that I didn't touch on that are just separate stories in and of themselves that have literally nothing to do with bodybuilding. So I will go into detail into other things about my life that don't pertain to bodybuilding. So I'm not just wanting this podcast to be like a bodybuilding/fitness only, because I do believe I have a lot more to offer you than that. So anyways, if you liked this episode, please share it on Instagram, leave me a review, give me feedback. If you hated it, let me know. Tell me why, and like, I will probably respond and tell you to fuck off or something. But anyways, yes, all the feedback, all the shares, all the likes, all the tags, all the comments, because you are super awesome for listening to this, and I will see you next time. I do what I want when I want and how I